Yeah, and I'll maybe say that. And don't forget what the Matildas did as well. Yeah, let's do that.
Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to yet another Brad and Botty podcast. Hello, Bottend, my friend. How are you?
I'm very good, Bradley. I'm extraordinarily well. That's an amazing round we've just seen.
What a round. Upsets everything. Unbelievable, isn't
it? We've got Melbourne losing twice, Sydney losing twice.
Who would have
in the WNBL?
That?
And then in the NBL, we've got Tasmania losing twice. So it's quite a round.
And what about Phoenix?
Yeah, I think we'll talk about that after we have our guest.
Right, well, we have a very exciting guest at the moment.
Do.
And here is a little from Bill Conti. Here's a clue. Okay, that gag was from Botty, and that was absolutely ridiculous. But let me just say, the person we have on now, oh my God, the person that we can have now, or will have now, is outstanding. Born in Fitzroy, Victoria, an absolute gem at basketball. Botty, what's that other sport they play in Melbourne, sometimes in Adelaide? They call it, what's that? Aussie rules or some crap. Yeah. I don't know. She's pretty good at that as well. She's only won the AFL's Best and Fairest Award or whatever it is, as we like to call it, MVP. I don't know what this Best and Fairest is anyway. But let me say, she did win a gold medal at the 2016 Under 17 World Champs. Rookie of the Year. Under 17, yeah, was she pretty good? She won the Rookie of the Year in her first season with the Boomers in 2017, then moved to the Flyers, winning a championship, and then coming back to the Boomers as well. Of course, we are talking the none other, the legend herself, Mon Conti. How are you, Mon?
Hi, thank you for having me on. I'm good, thank you.
It's a real pleasure because it's very, very rare. I think you might be one of only two players that have won an AFLW premiership and a WNBL championship. And the other one, obviously, is Aaron Phillips, who I imagine is something of a role model to you.
I actually didn't know that stat, so thanks for that. she is. She's what she could do towards the end of her career was amazing. So yeah, she definitely is a role model of some sort.
Go ahead, Brad. Go ahead.
I am absolutely amazed for someone who can be at the top of their game in one sport to do it for two. Now, forget the off seasons. I know you can say I play AFL in this season and then then at the other part of the season, I play NBL, WNBL and WAFL. But to be able to do that is just unbelievable. Take us back. Where did it start and where do you get the, I can do both of these?
I think ever since I picked up the footy. So I started playing basketball at like 5, like as you do at school. And then my group of school friends and people outside, we created like a little domestic team, played for that. And then when I was about 8 or 9 years old, I was football club with the boys. Again, just some people from school played in that team, some guys. So I was like, you know what, I'll give it a crack. I came to training and I really enjoyed it. I was actually better than I thought I was and all that sort of stuff. So I started there and I just kept playing till I was 14 at Duda's in the EDFL. And I guess just before that ended, I realized I was a school sport Victoria girls state team. So I tried for that under 16, 16 and under. And that was fun. I never knew there was other girls that played with that. But during all of this time, like I was still playing my basketball. So there'd be a Sunday morning game for footy, but I'd have Sunday morning basketball training at 8 a.m. So I'd finish training, I'd run to footy, I'd get there at halftime, play the rest of the game. And I did that for a really long time until I got to, I guess when I started playing youth girls, that was a Saturday game. So that was pretty easy to juggle, or it was a bit later on Sundays. So that was all good, all fine. I probably had basketball as my priority at that point, just purely because there was not really a pathway for girls in footy. Mm-hmm. And I forever had an Opal dream and to make it to the very highest level ever in basketball. So I tried to pursue that, but I just loved footy so much as well, so I couldn't give that up. Then the pathway started coming in. There'd be a few tournaments for footy that I had to miss because of WNBL, which I guess I had to sort of think, you know, playing professional women's basketball in Australia, like I don't think I should sort of give up that opportunity for like a under 18 nationals for footy or anything. So I chose that. I did that. And, you know, a few sacrifices along the way. And then there was an AFLW competition. So I was like, oh, this could be interesting. So then that happened. And I already signed a 4-year deal with Melbourne Boomers at 16 years old. So I was committed to that. Then the footy came in and I sort of had to sit down and be like, I actually want to try this, but it won't clash. I'll make sure I do my basketball first. So then that happened and I had to juggle that. So I missed all of footy preseason for about 4 years of my career. And then just sort of came into the games and just started playing without much preseason under my belt, which probably wasn't the best thing, but I could do it at that young age. So I did that. And then, it got to a point where it overlapped a bit too much and I decided to do my football. Don't even know what year. Then there was two seasons. After that hub season, that one following that, I obviously didn't play. So, or maybe it was the one before that. I don't remember. Okay. I missed the basketball season.
Those headlocks, Mon, those headlocks.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I had to make sure I wanted to see what I could do with the footy preseason as well. So I gave that a crack and I kind of lifted my own standards and everything. And I didn't realize like how much impact I could actually have on the game until I put my all into it. So, but now we're back playing basketball.
Yep. Do you come from a sporting family, Mon? Like, yeah, you've got brothers and sisters that play sport? Because obviously you've dedicated a lot of your life to playing sport.
My whole life. no such thing as a social life or friends, but that's okay. just kidding. My brother, I've got a 28, I think, year-old brother. He was really into footy and basketball, but he chose a social life. He was just, like, kind of... He wasn't massive either. Like, he sort of was a late bloomer. So after all these boys turned into men, he was still growing. So you kind of missed that boat. But he was really skilled, really talented. And my parents played – my mom played – she did trampolining and diving. She was good at running as well. And, my and like, volleyball, soccer, all that sort of stuff. My dad played footy and volleyball as well. So I guess it's in my blood.
yes, it is.
Not professional. Yeah.
Now, somebody who's playing two sports and was playing basketball and football, you would come across a lot of players in the football that have also played another sport. Is basketball, in your view, the most conducive to making the change to footy? Because there seem to be a lot of things in basketball, even how you box out, you know, in terms of making positioning to run forward like box out in basketball, run for a mark in football, the dodging and weaving. Like, is our sport, basketball, the most conducive to make the change to footy?
I think now that the game's growing and getting a lot better, I think it's a lot harder for anyone to come in. But I think if a player was, it'd be a basketball, it just with like, just the ball skills and like the ability to sort of make decisions in a small space just purely because of, you know, you're on a court and you have to make the split decisions all the time. So I think, it would be that. They complement each other. But I think it's basically like if you've played footy when you're a junior, like Tessa Levy.
Yeah.
But I think if you haven't played before, it's a lot more difficult.
Yeah, it makes sense. Mon, can I ask, I'm always intrigued with this, as I said, with other sports. We have a situation where I've been around the WNBL and NBL for many years and played, and I find the professionalism is fantastic. Do you notice the professionalism between both sports? Is one more than other? You know, do you find it more difficult in one part of the season than the other?
Footy is way more professional. We just get... treated like we should. There's a long way to go, don't get me wrong, like a long way to go, but if I'm comparing both sports, I feel more valued as a footballer and just like across the league, I think. And you know, we get our meals twice a week and we get a chef, and then we have physios, and they're willing to go beyond hours to make sure that we're all good. You come into the club early, stay late. Your well-being is number one. across the whole year, you have access to the strength and conditioning staff and physios, and, you know, you can access the club whenever. So I think it's just more professional in that aspect. And even when you rock up to training, how you go about it, it's like really strict on timings, really strict on, you know, putting the extra work in, and you can't hide, if that makes sense. But, and, you know, it's the same for basketball, but it's just more in football. Like, basketball is still professional, don't get me wrong. But I think just as a league in general, AFLW's miles above the WNBL, and I really want the WNBL to get better at that, but I think it just sort of plateaued across many years at this point.
Well, it's a financial thing. There's no question about that, the money that would coming in. So if you, you know, everyone gives the old, if you're the CEO for the day, I don't want to go there, but what do you think the WNBL could do, which would be minor but big, if you know what I mean? Minor in the sense of it's not a bit difficult change, but big in the sense of what it would do for the girls.
Oh, there's so many. Like, I think there's so many, but I was actually thinking about this the other day. I thought, why don't we just line up with every NBL team like there is for footy? I think we should line up with every NBL team. So there's a women's team and a men's team. We can play a bit like the NBL one, right? Like, you've got both teams. They play before and after each other. I feel like we could do something like that. And
well, you are talking to a huge fan. I would love that. Yeah. I grew up in the Flames environment where, you know, I was a youngster and I'd go to the Kings and you'd get there early and watch the Flames, and you had Michelle Timms and you had all these players, you know, Trish Fallons and Sandy Rondellos. Yeah. You were like, this is awesome to watch. So I completely, that would be amazing. That would be amazing.
Yeah, don't be fooled. It's just, don't be fooled. Brad's just a big perv. He used to go out to look at the bodysuits. Brad, you know, that's what you told me off air. Don't go changing it on air.
Oh, my goodness. This is what I have to deal with.
I would be all for the bodysuits, but I think I could get a bit of a wedgie both ways. So I'd probably not at the moment. But seriously, I actually think they should just, like, literally try and mirror the NBL one. Obviously, it's different, but it would bring more people to our games, more eyes on our games. That would bump up the TV ratings. It would bump up how many people, like, bums on seats, like everything like that would just go through the roof. And I think the WNBL would be silly enough to do something like that. But then again, obviously there's a lot of things behind the scenes, but I think you got to start somewhere, and I guess we might as well try it. And if it doesn't work, that's amazing.
Mon, I watched you play the Flames at the beginning of the year, and you were at Kudos. So that's what you're talking about, aren't you? Before that, but yeah, that was, I love that.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, people might start rolling into halftime or something, but there's more people than you would have had just a standalone game.
Yeah, good.
Well, that's what it used to be. I mean, I can remember going to Lightning and 36ers games in Adelaide, and that was in the days when, you know, people say, oh, it's too long a night, you know, if you're watching two major matches. But that was back in the days when the NBL was playing 48 minutes as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it wasn't that long a night. You rolled up, you saw a great women's game, or you rolled up at halftime and were there for the close finish. And, you know, when there's, you might start a game with 2,000 people watching, you finish up with 8,000 people watching. It's still a pretty good atmosphere.
Well, exactly right. And we've done, as Sydney does it or did it, and Adelaide, but it needs to be done, I think, across the league. I think there should be team alignments. Like, you know, you could have, this is just me speaking hypothetically, you could have United and Boomers and then Flyers, Phoenix, Sydney, Adelaide, you know what I mean? Like, and it could be like that. It could be possible.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you this now. You always hear parents and saying, you know, like, basketball is a non-contact sport. I wouldn't have my kids playing and, all that. Exactly. It's ridiculous. But I do want to know, do you feel there is that, like, is AFL much harder to play than a basketball game? Because, I don't know, on a basketball court, I get the feeling you just know where everyone is, where on an AFL court, a field, I don't know if you do.
I don't know if you saw the past two games, but it was just as bad as footy, not going to lie.
Exactly. That's what I mean,
Jeez, Canberra.
So I think with footy, it's a lot. Like, even talking to our imports, you see Jordan and Nas and Tedda, like, they're in awe of how, like, you get hit from all angles and you're not prepared for anything on the footy field. So that's, like, I guess the harder part. But, the basketball is also quite rough and, like, you're expecting the hits, but you're also landing on a harder surface. So They're just completely different, I think, but both just as physical in their own way.
Yeah.
So but you can't flop as much on the footy field because you won't get any calls. Because you don't flop, so you see, and everything like that. So, yeah.
So, Mon, have you given that you're really committed now to your football career, at the very least on a par with basketball, probably far more so actually, does that mean you've kind of given up on your Opals dream?
I don't like the sound of given up ever. I don't know if I've given up on something. But honestly, I just think my journey has changed and where I want to be has changed. I think I kind of decided that on my own. But I'm also really grateful for the opportunities that I have had with my footy to be where I am. And I'm only 24, so it's not over. Anything can happen next year. Do you know what I mean? Like, you just don't even know your future. So I've never ruled out anything. I'm not going to rule it out, but I also think, you know, the basketball world might just see me as a footballer as well now, which is kind of hard for me when you try and, you know, tell people you can do both. Like, it's always been a bit of a struggle in that aspect. But, I mean, it would be nice, but represented my country at 17s and 19s level, which I think is pretty awesome on its own. So, maybe one day, but you never know.
So when you say you're 24, does that mean that you celebrated a birthday, say, very, very recently, maybe a week ago?
9th of December, 1999.
Oh. Well, that's amazing. That's also my wife's birthday. So I know exactly what your disposition is like.
The only difference is, Mon, I'm sure you enjoyed your birthday. Boddy's wife didn't because she had to spend it with Boddy, right? So, so you're a Sagittarius like me. I'm November 25th.
Yes, it's the best type of people to be, Sagittarius.
Absolutely.
Sags. Yeah. They're called sags. I don't know why. As I'm getting older, I'm starting to realise why. Yeah. All right. So this weekend, what happened to Melbourne this weekend? Like this round, I watched in stunned silence. Oh, no, not stunned silence. A couple of times in the Canberra game, I yelled at the screen, but it was usually when a whistle went.
Yeah. You're probably not alone, but that's just how it is. It's basketball for you. But I guess Canberra came out to play. They're a good team. They're kind of a bit unpredictable at times as well. So they came out to fight hard at their home court. Like, that helps them a lot too, the crowd and everything. It was hard when Jordan went down because I guess we rely on her a lot, like, obviously because she's bloody amazing. So I think that kind of threw us off a bit. And again, on the weekend, we kind of had to try and figure out, like, ways that we could get buckets and everything like that. But our defense was all right. It had its patches. We were just on and off. I think it was more, you just got to think about, like, we don't think we really got beat, and we think we lost, if that makes sense. Like,
yes.
We could have turned it around. Like, we were up. We could have stayed up. You know, we were chipping away, and then sort of momentum just changes. So, but does it mean, like, every game you got to treat it like it's a three-match series? So when you come across a team, got to make sure you beat them at least 2 out of 3 times. So we're on that path, but
I like that analogy.
Maybe just a bit of a bump.
I love that analogy. That's obviously for the split at the end of the year, is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully you beat every team, but you know,
yeah, of course.
But you want to beat them 3 times or at least 2 out of 3.
Actually, here's a question for you. Do you think that referees can influence? Now, I'm not trying to get you into trouble here. This is just a comparison.
Give me a green light to talk about things because I will.
No, just wondering, you know, as a person who plays at the elite level in 2 sports, do you think the referees can influence a result more so in basketball than they can in football, given that it's a bigger field, there's a lot more people involved, there's a lot more distance to cover?
No, I think it's the same. I think the refs are a part of the game, though. Umpires and refs are a part of the game, so of course they have an influence. Extremely happy with anything because, you know, every team wants everything to go right for them. But referees are only human and they can only see so much. But, yeah, I think no matter what's happening out there, like with opposition, refs, crowd, you just have to adapt with it regardless. And I think sometimes as players we can really get carried away with that. But the main key is to just focus on your team, focus on the game and what's at hand, because you can't change a call, you can't change the crowd, you can't change opposition. You can only really focus on, you know, what your team's doing, what you're doing. So
got to adapt. Mon, just last question from me. How much break do you get between So you'll finish I was going to say you'll finish the WNBL. Oh, let's be honest. I mean, I'm a massive Boomers fan. You guys will go deep, in my opinion. But whatever happens, you finish eventually. What happens? Straight in? A week? 2 months? What?
So after the championship.
yeah, there you go. Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
I think I plan on going on a holiday somewhere with my sister, but my boyfriend, Dave, who plays for Hawks. Wait till he finishes his season, see where he goes, and then we might...
Hang on. Your boyfriend's Dave O'Hickey?
Yeah.
No way. I did not
know that. 2.5 years, yeah.
Wow, that's fantastic. So, I mean, I played with Dave on a Monday night. Love the kids. See him in Wollongong all the time. See him in Wollongong all the time and, like, you know, hugs and kisses type thing. Love him. Love that he started playing again. That is a fabulous story. I had no idea.
Yeah, I love David. Now he's great. He's, especially when you get to know him, you realize how good of a person he is.
And he's great. He's a legendary.
Yeah, he is. He's so passionate about his basketball too, and I think he's just an amazing athlete and player. And I love when he gets opportunity because he just grabs it with two hands. And
yep.
What about that game against who'd they beat 2 weeks ago? The Perth game. How good was that against
Perth?
How good was that? Yeah.
That was anyway, the three, wasn't it?
Let's go yeah, back. So you're going to go. I'll tell Dave. I'm seeing him on Saturday, so I'll make sure he goes away with you. So go on. Next thing. So you're going away with Dave and your sister. Where are you going and how long?
Don't know. We haven't planned anything because it obviously just depends on finals and everything like that.
Yeah.
So we'll go somewhere. I don't know where that will be, but we'll do that together, which is nice because long distance is never easy. So
I did 4 years. If it makes it easier, I did 4 years with my wife in a state while I was playing NBL. And then when I finished, she moved up actually my last season, and we're coming on 30 years together. So it can work.
Oh, see, that gives us hope. We love
yeah,
that.
Like, it can work. It can work.
Yeah, I'm just happy for him to pursue his dreams, and he's happy for me to pursue mine. So it's good to have someone that understands.
Oh, you know, God, I feel like I know you so much better now. I feel like I know you so much better.
This has been a really good interview for you, hasn't it, Brad?
I loved it. I loved you prior. Now I even just love you and the Boomers more. This is great.
We're Dave O'Hickey fans, aren't we?
Now, man, we've reached that point in the interview where Brad and I like to throw some names at our guest, and we just want you to give us maybe a one-word immediate response or a sentence if you've got something, or if you've got a really good anecdote, you can do that too. But I'll start it off. I'll throw a name at you, then Brad will throw a name at you. My first one is Aaron Phillips.
Go.
Okay. That's good. I'm going to go with my one then, Lauren Jackson.
Oh, the goat.
The next one is Billy Goat. No, let's see, Chloe Malloy.
Done.
I like that. All right, good. I'm going to go with one on behalf of Uncle Boddy, your teammate, Sarah.
The best human in the world.
that's so nice.
There's no argument.
We love Sarah.
She is a legend.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. What about your new coach, Chris Lucas?
Oh, love him. He's like a father figure. He's just like a dad, you know, with his and he's passionate. So passionate and he cares. So we love that. Good.
Yeah, we are massive fans, and I'm going to add one right into it as well. The assistant, Christy Harrower.
Oh, absolute complete goat of boy guards.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
A lot of goats running around in this yard.
Yeah. Hey, just so you know, I've got Boddy on camera here, so I'm seeing a goat as well. Mon, I just wanted to say to you that's very kind,
Brad. There's a lot of other good riders too.
No. I'm talking about the four-legged kind. Mon, you are a legend. You are How can I put it? You're just a fantastic human, and it's so good for you to be able to do what you do in both sports. We love you. We will sometimes talk about that other thing, the AFL-y thing or whatever you call it, but it's WNBL. We love you for you're a legend. I wish you all the best for the Boomers and, of course, with Richmond next year as well, and thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. I really appreciate that.
Oh, what a breath of fresh air she was, Boddy. How good
was
that?
Oh, yeah, after you. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, I just love. You can just feel the passion. Like, you look at the – I mean, I don't want to just say, like, but just the women, but I mean, we've had men on here as well. But, you know, you talk Mon, you talk Sarah, you talk, they're just so passionate, aren't they? Like they just love talking about it and being part of what they do.
Everyone we've had, like Tess Madge and Sammy Whitcomb, you just keep running through the list.
Yeah.
And they're fantastic and they're great for their sport. But let's talk about the WNBL because Sydney and
Okay,
Melbourne.
We're not going to go through all the games, but just tell me Flames, Melbourne, wow.
I was shocked that Sydney got beaten by 40. I mean, I wasn't shocked that they lost because as soon as Tess Madge was out, I thought, that's going to hurt them. But 40 points, my God, that's the biggest flogging this season. And then they've got to back up against Townsville. And they get flogged again. So,
They didn't have an answer. Yeah, I'm very concerned about Sydney, obviously. I mean, if they're going to lose from one person, but, Perth, I think, had five players. It was in double figures. Annalie Maley again, 15 rebounds, but they just had no answer. I watched the whole game, right? Yeah. And they just had no answer to anything that you could get, literally from the first play of the game, which I think was a foul heading to the hoop or whatever it was. So really, really unbelievable.
Melbourne as well.
Yeah.
Dropping it to Canberra.
But I thought, you're interested with Mont. As soon as you lose that one gun, we'll go to Phoenix in the moment, but you talk Creek, right? But as soon as you use that gun, it can just throw you out. Now, usually when you lose them within that game, you're usually okay because you're in the swing and the next one's always hard. But also I'll just throw it out to Townsville, 7 in a row. They're humming.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they are looking great. And you're very happy, actually, that everybody's on
the board
now.
All right, quickly, let's go because we're short on time here. So let's give me some winners. Melbourne at home versus Flames.
Melbourne.
Yeah, I'm with you. Capitals at home versus Adelaide.
Capitals.
Agreed. Flames at home versus Bendigo.
Sydney has to win that game. They have to win that game.
That's what I was going to say. Sydney at home for that reason. Perth at home versus Southside. Good game.
That should be an absolute – that may be the game of the round.
Yeah, so I agree. The next one's Townsville at home versus Boomers, by the way. But anyway, very quality games, all of them.
Yeah, they need – the Boomers need Jordan Canada back to give Townsville to kind of hurry up.
No Boomers, Townsville – no Jordan, Townsville beat Boomers. I agree with
you. Yeah, and in the other one, I'm still leaning on Perth.
Southside.
I'm not dazzled by Southside, mate. I'm not dazzled by them.
All right, fair enough. I'm still going south.
What was your moment of the round for the women, quickly?
Oh, what about Steph Reid's underhand shot against the Flames?
How good was that?
It's just like, oh my goodness!
If you haven't seen that, folks,
it's on YouTube.
Look it up on YouTube.
Yeah, it's brilliant. You got it. That was definitely my moment. I was like, that's just so cool. What about you?
Oh, mine was just the joy on those Canberra girls when they knew they had the game won against Melbourne. If you lost 8 games in a row, you've lost more games going back in the previous season.
Nice.
Just the joy is always fun to be part of and to witness. Yeah. So I was really, really happy for them. Nice. Player of the round for me was Jade Melbourne, 30 points, nice. 10 assists. But you can't do much better than that.
I'm going Sammy Whitcomb. Right, I think she's just playing great both games, solid as a rock. With what Townsville went through last year, losing who they've lost, she's just come in and I love her. I loved her at the Worlds too. I thought she was great. So, okay, let's move on to NBL. Let's move on to NBL. Some interesting games is probably the best way to put it. What did you see?
I saw Perth beat Tasmania in extraordinary circumstances. Mm-hmm. And then I saw Sydney respond really well to a lot of criticism from a couple of 7-foot owners to bounce back and win. And Jalen Galloway, just spectacular. I saw improvement in Adelaide too, Brad. I saw a lot of improvement in Adelaide. Like Scott Innes has had a week now, not just a couple of training.
I still don't understand this not playing some players.
I don't
get it.
And I think they've got it wrong too, quietly. Yeah. No offence to 35-year-old Alex Starling, but I'd be playing Kyron Galloway in those minutes,
just don't get it. I don't know what's going on there. But anyway, what I am going to say is, how disappointing with Phoenix, but we'll come back to that. Everything else, I don't think, anything, Tassie, look, I'm not surprised they lost to the Kings, to be honest with you, after coming all the way from Perth. Sydney have been sitting there. And the Kings of what they did, they copped a pounding here in Sydney, mate. They copped a pounding this week.
Yeah.
And it was all about the defensive end. Brisbane, I looked up that game. I was watching that game and I'm thinking they're done here and how they came back and had a damn shot to win it, mate. Mitch Norton hit it too, but it was after the buzzer.
Oh, it took too long. You just stood there and looked at it and thought, oh, I've got a bit of time. I'll just whack it up. Actually, it's funny because the week before, the same thing happened at Cairns, as you remember.
Yeah, yeah.
Jonah Antonio hit a shot
after
right,
the buzzer.
Right. Unfortunately.
He didn't have a shot clock, though. He couldn't
Vaughan
see.
Vaughan Mabry was there for that one. And I here's the man.
Was he? I didn't notice. Was he on TV?
Yeah, we missed him in Brisbane because I would love to see him running around like a chook without his head, just saying, wait, let's double check.
But okay, what was your best moment?
Quickly though, hats off to New Zealand. That was a very good win against the full-strength Cairns Cairns. They won. They had like 4 points in the first 11 seconds. I've never seen that before. Never.
That's your win. Hang on, before you give me your best moment, quickly, give me wins and losses. New Zealand at home against the Kings.
New Zealand are going to get that.
Mm-hmm. Kings for me. Cairns at home versus Phoenix.
Cairns.
Yep. And just so we know, from latest thing, Mitch Creek out, knee injury. They're saying 10 to 14 days. Mate, I'm saying longer with a strain in your MCL. Yeah.
Their season is over.
I'm Illawarra
I do
at
like,
home.
I do like Abdul Nader. I thought he showed a bit.
Yeah,
he's going to be
good.
All right. Yeah,
he looked good.
Well,
Illawarra, I'm looking forward to this. I'm there Saturday night. I reckon that place will be rocking. Illawarra are humming, and two wins in a row. And probably, if you could argue, they probably could have won all of the games under majority of the games under the new coach. Because don't forget, they had that shot against Brisbane to win it. So he's turned that franchise around. Yep. Who's winning that against Tassie?
Oh my God!
Yeah, I know.
Oh my God! Oh, gee, Tasmania has to win that. They have to win that. If Illawarra wins that,
then Illawarra comes. My gut says Tassie, but my heart says Illawarra.
Yeah, well, your gut's bigger than your heart, so let's go with that.
Ain't that the truth? You should see me after this last week. My goodness. Melbourne United at home versus Perth. I'm going United. And don't forget, they lost that last game, United, against Perth.
Yeah, but they lost three starters. They lost three starters inside a quarter. So I don't rate that one as a huge Perth win. Melbourne is fantastic. Chris Goulding, the shots he's hitting. The three he hit in the first quarter against Adelaide, every one of them was epic.
He's another level this year. I'll tell you what, I don't know how you cannot take him to Paris. I'm not saying he's not going. I'm just saying if you don't take him, I don't know how. But
if you're taking someone from the NBL, it's Chris Goulding.
Adelaide at home versus Brizzy.
Adelaide.
Yeah,
that'll
I'm with you.
Scott's breakthrough.
Tassie at home versus Phoenix. Christmas Day. First Christmas Day game, because there's two. Not the first one ever, I'm saying, as in game one.
Tasmania.
I'm with you. Kings at home versus Illawarra. That's going to be a ripper.
Oh, my God. That will be so good.
I'm calling that on Christmas Day. I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to that one.
That's a tough one because, the result, both teams are playing earlier in the round, so I'm sorry. I'm going to take a pass on that one. I'm going to wait till I see their results.
Sydney at home on the back of some defense, and Galloway's helping him on that defensive end. They look better with him on the court. Cairns at home versus Perth. Tough games, man. Jeez. Boxing Day.
Perth.
Cairns and Brisbane at home versus New Zealand. Oh, God, that's another tough one. I'm going to go Brisbane.
I'm going to go New Zealand because I think they're getting Zillin Cheatham back. Will McDowell back shortly too.
Yeah, but they need a couple of games. Give me your best moment.
Oh, my best moment was when a spectator comes out of the crowd because Dejan Vasiljevic has got massive cramp on the baseline and some stranger comes, grabs him by the calf, straightens out his leg and is helping him get back. I think that is – I've never seen anything like that before in my life.
Well, can I just tell you, I was in Illawarra a few years ago and I saw something similar, right, where a guy is sitting in the box and he puts his hand out to go and pick up, I can't remember who the Kings players was, and just turned his beer upside down and poured it all over him. It was brilliant.
Yeah, I bet he wished he had a bottle.
Oh, mate. Hang on, I've got to tell you what was hilarious. The missus looked at him after that. It was bloody, what the hell did you just do? Anyway, my best moment. I had so many, I've got to be honest, but I love the fact Tasmania versus the Kings. And everyone right now thinking, oh, here's Brad again with the Kings, probably a Galloway dunk or something. No.
Yes.
Drimmick dives on the floor, taps the ball to
Milton Doyle,
who then throws it up for the lob of Marcus Lee. I just thought that was brilliant. That is, you know, and he got trampled, Drimmick, too. So Jalen Adams fell on him. So that was my best moment. What was yours?
Well, I gave it to you. Vasiljevic getting helped by a spectator. It's okay. Player of the round.
Player of the round. Look, I'm going to go split between Tyler Harvey and Galloway. The problem I have with Tyler Harvey is I thought he was fantastic in the first half, 22, but was nowhere to be seen. But I don't want to say he was nowhere to be seen in a bad way. The team won. Do you know what I mean? So it wasn't like...
And he put them in a winning position.
Correct. And he put him in there and he still did his stuff. So I thought he was good. And I thought Galloway, man, he was amazing for the Kings down in Tasmania. So I can't split them. Who's yours?
I got Bryce Cotton because he is still winning games, and what he did to Tasmania there in the finish, that big three that he hit over Jordan Crawford, and then the free throws. Mm. Tasmania got no one to blame for the result because they had Will Magnay had a free throw he missed. Jordan Crawford had a free throw that he missed. These were all critical in the last 20 seconds.
Jeez, I'll tell you what, Magnay shot a couple of free throws yesterday. Jeez, mate, they didn't look great. Bit broken on there. Hey, give me a nasty.
Look, I've done this one before. I'm sorry, but I hate it on the TV coverage of the NBL when they cut away from live action to show you the Harvey Norman replay of something irrelevant or some fan in the crowd that we're supposed to know who that is, while live action continues and then we cut back and somebody scored or someone's got a foul and now we don't know what happened. I hate that stuff. Stay with the live action. It's basketball. It's hard, it's not football. It? They're not running the ball back to the center.
It's hard. Like, I'm not, you know, like, I'm part of it and stuff, but I like seeing replays personally. You know, I like seeing that.
I'm not saying no replays. I just said don't do it while live action's happening.
Yeah, fair enough.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Talk to me. Okay. What's your rattler, Rosen?
Phoenix. I can't do this again, man. Do this. You know, like, I've never had them in my six every year, and I can't put them in there again. They are just so talented, that team, at times. And then here they go again. Like, they come out of the Kings, and they were amazing. Versus the Kings, right? Then I was sitting right there, and I was like, Alan Williams was brilliant. Very, you know, silly fouls, right? Yeah. He does those silly fouls. Creek was outstanding. And then they come up and burp what they burped up. No, this, I don't know what it is with this team.
This is before Mitch got injured against
Melbourne.
They were getting flogged
that.
When he
absolutely
got
like, they just like, they had, they're like, they're one good game, and then they're like, ah, oh, beauty, we've shown everyone we can
be.
And that's it. So, they annoy me.
Okay.
Anyway, Boddy, we've got to get out of here. Anything else, mate?
No, that's it. Goodbye. See you
next
week.
To everyone, we will see you next week. But before we do, we want to wish everyone a very, very Merry Christmas.
No, I don't. There's a few people I don't want to wish Merry Christmas
well,
to.
Well, yeah, but you're not talking to me, all right? You're talking to the public, all right? So.
Oh, general public, yeah, have a great one. Have a great Christmas. Yes.
Merry Christmas, everyone. And, of course, we will be going through, so we will do a show next week because if we don't do a show, we've got nothing else to do. See you next time, buddy.
I want to thank Joseph Kaur, our producer, for all the work he does.
Good on you, Joseph. What a legend he is.
Yes.
On you, Joey. On you, Joey.
See you next week.
Bye.
You know, when we were talking with Monique, and it's just starting to worry me that how well basketball translates into football, that we're not just going to lose female players to netball as we have throughout time, but we're now going to start losing them to football as well. It's a little bit of a worry going down the track.
Look, I get it, man. And then you've got soccer as well. Look at the Matildas. What they did. So, I mean, wow, unbelievable. And we're so high levels on all of them.
The thing about it is, though, the one thing is that what the Matildas have done and what AFLW also has done is brought women's sport generally into the spotlight, and that's a good thing for all women's sport across the board, I would think.
Amen to that.